Welcome back to Cyber AI, the podcast where cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and reputation control collide. This is episode 4. I'm Alan Sobelberg. Today, we're diving into something that's affecting every individual, every business, and frankly, every institution. The cyber reputation management in the artificial intelligence world of 2025. This year is already shaping up to be a game changer. I mean, we're 6 months into the year. As cybersecurity threats get more complex, so does the need to protect not just our data, but our own reputation. In fact, I'd argue now, and I have argued in the past, and you're going to hear me say it again in the future, that your digital reputation now is your first layer of cybersecurity defense. There'll probably be a bunch of cybersecurity geeks who will hop on me and say, oh, I'm so wrong. It's endpoint management, it's passwords, it's this, that, and the other thing. And yeah, they're right. But over 50% of cybersecurity attacks start with some sort of social engineering. So the more that we can take control of our reputation, the less effect a social engineering attack would have. Today, we're going to look at some of the key trends, threats, and proactive strategies that are defining the cyber reputation management in this artificial intelligence world of 2025. Now, we're not going to cover everything, obviously, but we're going to zero in on what you absolutely need to know, whether you're the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company or you're the CEO of your four family household. The state of cyber reputation and in the artificial intelligence world of 2025. So let's start by setting the stage. In 2024, we saw some extremely high profile cyber incidents that reminded us all how fragile digital trust really is. Let's start with United Healthcare. Long before their CEO was murdered in the streets, they had a major hack in the early part of 2024. This hack affected not just United Healthcare, but also all of the partners that they worked with, all of the insurance companies, doctor's offices, laboratories, patients, clinics who relied on United Healthcare's infrastructure to deliver healthcare throughout the United States, to take payments, to structure everything from appointments to follow-up visits to, you know, getting laboratory results. All of that broke down. Once the company was hacked, their supply chain and infrastructure fell apart. It took months and months and months for their partner companies to get paid. It took months and months, maybe even still now, some of the smaller clinics and hospitals that were affected are still trying to collect, or they actually had to switch insurance carriers so that they could find a company that would actually be commensurate with their own privacy policies and HIPAA policies. And it might be that their own insurance companies and other insurance might have forced them to make a switch because of the liability that United Healthcare presented. Microsoft was also hit and had to do several public breaches, notifications. Hewlett Packard Enterprises was hit. A number of other companies were hit. Huge company. And these affected all of us. But the United Healthcare breach did not just compromise sensitive patient data or insurance data. It shook customer trust at its core. And it's a perfect example of how cybersecurity is no longer just about protecting data. It is about protecting perception as well. And perception equals reputation, and reputation equals revenue. A solid cyber reputation in this artificial intelligence world in 2025 means being proactive, meaning being prepared and transparent. Here's some other just quick stats from 2024, last year, that just bring to heart the stakes that we are all facing here. 68% of consumers said that they would stop doing business with a company after a data breach. SEO spam attacks. These are when you see fake ads, diverted traffic, brand theft attempts. Believe it or not, this increased by 45%, with small and medium businesses taking the brunt of this, where these are basically artificially intelligence-driven attacks that are using various forms of deception online and stealing, either stealing money outright or stealing traffic or stealing intellectual property. But it's all being done through SEO. It's not being done through like someone hacking or something like that. So there's no, it's not like someone's breaking into a system, but what they're diverting is the money that someone else might be spending with that company, or they're diverting the time spent on that website, or they're diverting whatever. So artificial intelligence generated synthetic identities made up about 25% of all phishing scams that occurred in 2024. So nearly one in four phishing scams used completely fake artificial intelligence personas. That's a major shift, and that's definitely something that we're going to see continue to grow towards the end of this year, going into 2026, as the artificial intelligence becomes easier and easier and easier for people to access, and more criminals learn how to use it effectively. We're going to see a much more or higher success through rate of these artificial intelligence generated synthetic identity attacks. So the through rate will be, in other words, success rate. They'll have a much higher success rate. So what kinds of emerging threats are impacting the cyber reputation in the in this artificial intelligence driven world that we're living in right now in 2025? You know, what are the threats besides the things I just mentioned? Well, let's just kind of look at a sum of the emerging threats, because there's really a lot, but there's a few that I want to focus in terms of how we think about your reputation or your business's reputation in cybersecurity and combined in this artificial intelligence world. So number one, artificial intelligence powered attacks. I have talked about this on previous podcast episodes. I will continue to talk about this in future podcast episodes. And also, we will have guests in the future just specifically talking about these types of artificial intelligence driven attacks and the types of artificial intelligence defenses that are being used. Artificial intelligence tools are definitely already being weaponized. We are seeing them generate super realistic phishing emails, highly realistic fake social media posts and profiles, and even such things as fake press releases. These attacks can tarnish a brand's reputation before the company even knows that it has been under attack. And here's a chilling real-world example. Just last year, a large financial firm, I'm not going to mention who they are, was hit by an artificial intelligence-driven impersonation campaign. And in this case, what they did was it was run by most likely a group of short sellers, and they used this artificial intelligence impersonation to spread fake news about the company's solvency in the marketplace. The result, the company's stock took a slam. It was all from a fake narrative. Now, actually, that what I just said, it might seem like that's an extreme example, but that has happened. That happened dozens and dozens and dozens of times on multiple stock exchanges this past year. It continues to happen this year. It'll happen more and more often as it gets easier for criminals to make these types of technology advances, and harder for defenders to defend against them unless they're paying attention. Number two on this list is supply chain vulnerabilities. Now, in cybersecurity and reputation control and artificial intelligence, a supply chain may not be the type of supply chain that you might be thinking about, like Walmart with trucks and warehouses and things moving across state lines and people and robots making things happen. In the digital sense, the supply chain often is about the software partnerships that a company has, the security partnerships that a company has, the cloud provisioners, as well as any type of industrial IoT or e-commerce integration exchange platforms that they're using, just for an example. So a digital supply chain is everything from software to downloadable information to payment being made back and forth, and also the metadata that underpins a lot of this, both on the internet and offline as well. The supply chain is something that can really harm your reputation. If your vendor is having a problem and they get hacked, but your brand is going to be blamed. In 2024, there were multiple e-commerce platforms that got hacked. But usually, it was actually the payment processor that got hacked, but then the commerce e-commerce platform itself would be blamed. So the brand gets blamed, but not the vendor whose problem it actually was. This is what you would have to assume will happen in your case. If you got hacked and or you had a vendor who got hacked, you will be blamed, whether it's your fault or not. This is just how it goes. Lawyers will try to file lawsuits. Insurance companies will try to deny claims because everyone's out for money, whether they're criminals or good people. So if once you're going down that road, everyone's got their hand out for money. So when you look at a supply chain and the vulnerabilities that a supply chain provides, data exposure, a brand gets blamed, not a vendor. So in a supply chain vulnerability in this situation, if you're not using a good cybersecurity company and then you have some sort of a breach, are you going to be blamed or is the cybersecurity company going to be blamed? Well, you might turn around and blame the cybersecurity company, but your company, your brand will get blamed by consumers. So this supply chain vulnerability is something that's actually a huge threat to all of us because of the way artificial intelligence is now creating all this fake synthetic information. It makes it so that you have to be have really identified methods for securing your supply chain and also making sure that the vendors that you're relying on are strong and that they've all had vendor tests and security tests at the same level. You shouldn't assume that just because someone's an HVAC contractor or a painting contractor that they shouldn't have the same type of cybersecurity functions as an IT provider. And the reason is because that once someone's in the network, a hacker will use various types of escalation attempts to move up within a vertical and lateral method in a network. So they often start with a vendor that is your supply chain and that is your reputation based off that supply chain in this artificial intelligence driven world in 2025. Number three on this list, reputation damaging data breaches. Now I mentioned earlier Microsoft and Hewlett Packard Enterprises. Both of them had to make numerous public breach notifications in early 2024. In fact, the hack that occurred on both of those is probably very much linked to and similar to the UnitedHealthcare hack in terms of the style of hack that was used, password spray going after executives at high levels in the companies. The fallout from these lawsuits, government scrutiny, loss of consumer trust. Again, so the reputation damaging data breach where something actually is stolen and if something's actually being posted out there or used against you, not only is the data being stolen, like i.e. hacked, but then your reputation just got hacked also because now your corporate information or your personal information is out there. All it takes nowadays is to match email addresses with social media profiles, and pretty soon you start to see who's saying what behind the scenes, who's doing what where. And so as soon as a large company has a data breach like this, the personal and reputational side affects not just the executives or the company itself, but will affect customers and downstream vendors and anyone else that they're connected to. It gets a lot more complex and is going to get more complex. Number four on this list, it should be number one, but it's number four only because we're still waiting for it to cr hit critical mass at this point. Quantum computing. I have talked about quantum computing in previous episodes. I will be having multiple guests in the future relating to quantum computing and also on the security side, as well as how can quantum computing be used for good. But for right now, let's just focus on the threats. So this one does come close to home for me. I have been warning about quantum computing threats for several years as a sort of incoming emerging threat. As quantum computing advances, the encryption that we have relied on all across the board, governments, businesses, banks, insurance companies, nonprofits, healthcare, you name it, this encryption that we've all relied on to somewhat keep ourselves safe, it will no longer be safe. It's just that simple. As soon as quantum computers are being used against us in an attack mode, the encryption that was in a non-quantum environment will be broken almost immediately. As quantum computing advances, we'll be seeing this happen more and more. Right now, quantum computers are in the ownership of large universities, large companies, some nations, and a few sovereign wealth funds. However, in the next couple of years, as the price of quantum computing comes down, more quantum computing companies and vendors start offering services. We will start seeing the use of quantum computers, both attack and defense mode, becoming a reality. I can foresee a future very quickly where we'll be having quantum as a service providers, and then there'll be quantum as a service attack providers as well, just like there are similar things for malware now. When this happens, and it's going to happen soon, hackers and hostile nations alike who have been hoarding encrypted data over the years, they've just been waiting for quantum computers to bust this stuff wide open. They might have been sitting on data stolen 20 years ago in a database, but they are ready to use it. And what will happen is, so the quantum computers will unencrypt modern computers and modern computer systems instantly, but also this previously hacked data that they did not have access to will get unencrypted. And then the two will data sets will get married together. And what will happen is we will see a situation where previously hacked data that had been encrypted up to now is now married with newly hacked data that's unencrypted. The two of them will be woven together into new styles reputation attacks, new styles of cybersecurity attacks, and a decimation of our privacy. Quantum computing will decimate privacy, and it will do so in a heartbeat. It's a scary scenario, but unfortunately, this is the reality that we all have to be looking at. And if your organization is not starting to think about quantum computing and the risks factors that it is facing from quantum computing threats, they are not doing themselves a service. And my advice to larger companies is pay attention now, start investing in this now. My advice for smaller companies is if you don't have the money for quantum computing, start identifying cybersecurity companies that are involved in quantum computing defense and quantum encryption, because those are the companies you are going to need very, very quickly to defend your intellectual property and your business, frankly. It gets worse, even more complex. What happens when you combine deep fake artificial intelligence with quantum computers? So if you've already got the quantum computers that are breaking decryption every which way, and then you're adding in artificial intelligence generated deep fakes, the deep fakes now are going to become so perfect that it will literally be impossible to tell the difference because they'll be able to imbue all this other information taken before and put it together. But then when a hacker or a hostile foreign nation wants to create a problem, the ability to fabricate economic reports, news stories, and change market sentiment is now upon us. It is easy. When you combine this deep fake AI with a quantum computing power, what you have is the ability to create deep fake personas that could mimic a treasury minister or a finance minister or a president of a country or a general or admiral of an armed service and put out truly fake information that businesses and people in the world will make real world decisions on, but will be fake. Number six on this list is something called polymorphic malware, and also how polymorphic malware meets IoT. So, polymorphic malware is code inserted in malware. It is literally changing its shape, erasing its tracks, and adapting in real time. If you were a defender and you come across some malware and it detects you detecting it, it will change itself. This is polymorphic malware. We are seeing malware attacks happening more and more and more, both at large organizations and smaller ones as well. But when you start to combine these types of attacks with IoT devices, especially industrial IoT devices, you have a real problem. A lot of IoT devices, Internet of Things, IoT, are not programmed with a lot of security built in. especially the first, second, third, fourth generation IoT devices that are still out there and still in use. Most of them have almost no onboard cybersecurity. Many times, if they put on any type of cybersecurity, it was basically like a coat of paint over something that didn't have any to begin with, and then to make it look like so they could sell it as safe. The reality is a lot of IoT devices to this day are still unsecured or barely secured. Industrial IoT devices are often buried in large factories or they're in large buildings. They may not be something that's accessible by a keyboard or a monitor. And oftentimes, if something does break or gets hacked in one of those, it actually has to be pulled physically from wherever it is. They have to go and take apart a piece of equipment to get to this other piece of equipment to finally undo this. Hackers know this, and hackers know that they could disable factories and they could disable industrial plants and warehouses very quickly using these types of attacks. And so when they start targeting the IoT attacks with polymorphic malware, they're targeting devices that were never really designed to have any cybersecurity in the first place. And there's also often not a lot of real awareness from a security services or a security team about their IoT devices. They may not even have the visibility needed to see what's going on. So this has become a real problem because now hackers have recognized that they can go after these IoT devices using things like polymorphic malware and really have a easy access to getting a ransom because they can shut things down very quickly, sometimes faster this way than they might by trying to do kind of like a traditional hack. Seven on this list, artificial intelligence botnets and identity theft. Botnets are millions of computer devices or virtual machines that are being used to program. Often they're kind of dumb and they're being used to respond to certain things, or they're being used to put out propaganda on social media, or they're being used for other large scale, where it looks like millions of people are saying something or doing something. However, artificial intelligence botnets can also be programmed to do identity theft. In combination with synthetic identities and with just the sheer amount of information stolen every year and the sheer amount of information on the dark web about people and organizations, AI botnets are now being used to create thousands of fake identities at the same time, launching full-blown reputation attacks on your brand from completely fake people, from completely fake identities and personas. It's not, and people say, well, is this where we're headed or is this where we are? I'm going to say right now, it's where we are. Thanks to massive database base breaches that have exposed social security numbers, birthdays, driver's license, you name it, for almost every single American. What that means is our information is out there. Whether criminals are using it in one way or another, it's out there. And if they want to use it, they can. So these botnets make a large-scale identity theft and large-scale synthetic identity theft happen not only more rapidly, but just much more easily for criminals. Number eight on this list, artificial intelligence cyber overload. Defenders at organizations right now are overwhelmed. Even the largest corporations that have 1,000-person cybersecurity teams find this to be an exhausting process. It's a never-ending cycle, 24/7. Artificial intelligence-driven attacks are being used in ways that defenders may not always be aware of. Sometimes their tools aren't up to the speed of what the artificial intelligence attack coming in is. And this is especially true in small businesses and rural infrastructure organizations. Rural hospitals, smaller cities, smaller municipalities, where they may not have the budget or the people or the full understanding to really fight back against these artificial intelligence cyber attacks. Without artificial intelligence enhanced defenses, it's a lot like showing up to a gunfight with a spoon. So this is a huge threat for all of us because as the attackers become more and more sophisticated, unfortunately, many of the counties and cities and states that we're all in, and municipalities and local organizations simply are not up to the ability to deal with these artificial intelligence attacks. They don't have the staff or resources to defend against it. And so this creates a massive vacuum, and the criminals know it. Number nine on this list, and this is both a good and bad, okay? I actually have a California insurance license so that I can both deal with and help my clients deal with cybersecurity insurance. I think it's an important part of the ecosystem and one that shouldn't be ignored. However, it has also created a dichotomy of sorts in that, and you may not realize this, but cybersecurity insurance and tech, policy insurance, they now are shaping how many cybersecurity and reputation incidents get handled. So with roughly 50% of American businesses currently covered by cybersecurity insurance, the insurers are influencing the response times. Their insurance are influencing how incidents are responded to based on which incident responders they are putting on various lists of approved, pre-approved vendor lists. They're influencing PR strategies and even breach notification strategies. But for the 50% of companies that aren't part of that insurance world, they're left alone to try to figure this all out themselves. And often it will take them a lot longer to find the right resources to fix their problem. And if they're not on those approved lists and they're not working with the right people, sometimes what will happen with these smaller businesses very, very quickly is as soon as word gets out that there was a hack, suddenly they get cut off from their banks or they get cut off from other financial players because they don't, those financial players do not want the risks. And also what we see is many smaller companies in rural cities and municipalities also spend a lot more time trying to actually repair a problem, mitigate a problem afterwards, because again, it's a resource issue, and or they just don't have the ability to reach the experts in their area quickly. They may not know who they are. So there's a dichotomy between the companies that are covered by cybersecurity insurance and tech and E&O policies, and those that aren't. And what the, and then this means how is your company going to handle it or not? And so I think that this is a big problem because it's not understood clearly, and it's created a market dynamic where some companies are getting real help and getting things fixed very quickly, and other companies are not getting help at all, or they're not getting things fixed quickly, and they're getting ignored, or they get blown off, and then their business goes under. And lastly, deep fake, this is number 10 on the list. I mentioned deep fakes earlier in conjunction with quantum computing, but deep fake social engineering. Let's talk about this for a second. The healthcare and financial sectors are prime targets. In 2024, there's so much personal information and health data that was stolen from artificial intelligence-driven scams. It's actually hard to calculate any real number. You have to figure if there's 350 million people in America, 300 million of us had our information stolen last year, roughly. That means that there is just so much information out there that can be repopulated into a new artificial intelligence-driven scam. So expect to see this hit us this year, next year, and into the future harder and harder and harder as this information is put together, more and more previously hacked information put together with a new hack. So, okay, so what can you do? What can we do? Can you do as a CEO or the head of an organization or in a government agency to be proactive about a cybersecurity reputation management strategy in this artificial intelligence world of 2025? What can you do? So I created a quick checklist sort of for proactive cybersecurity management in the artificial intelligence arena. Number one, incident response readiness. Build an incident response plan with public relations and crisis communications built in. You need a strategy, not just for the hack of your data, but also for the headlines that come after it. Often those headlines are coming immediately. They're coming within an hour or two, sometimes, depending on how quick the hackers are to try to share their information. Use AI monitoring tools. Use AI to monitor your brand. Artificial intelligence can be great for a lot of things, but one of the things that you can program it for, you can actually create your own artificial intelligence agent to monitor your company, to monitor your name, your brands. But if you can't do that, use Google Alerts. Use Bing Alerts. Use these tools that are monitoring for fake news. Look for your name being used as a publish in a publicity in publicity, in something that's been published online or in social media. Look for fake reviews, look for phishing. The more that you're articulating these types of AI tools in real time, the safer your company is going to become. Make sure you supply your supply chain, that you secure your supply chain both on a virtual basis and in real life. Your real life supply chain needs to be secure, obviously. Your digital supply chain needs to be just as secure. You need to be doing vendor audits and asking every vendor if they are using proper cybersecurity rules, if they are following the same protocols that you are following, and if not, why not? And what, how do you make that gap get bridged? Employee training. This is so key. This is number four on the list. The people in any organization are going to be the weakest and the strongest link when it comes to your cybersecurity and your reputation in this new artificial intelligence arena of 2025. Make sure that you are training on a regular basis and that they are being trained to spot social engineering efforts, phishing efforts, and artificial intelligence-driven scams. Partner with the experts. When doubt, call in the pros, like DigiJack's group. If you are in a medical situation, you go to a doctor. You don't go to a shoe repairman. So in this situation, if you feel that it's getting out of your hand, look, find your, if it's not going to be DigiJack's, find a company that you feel comfortable working with and bring them on and engage with them. Help them expand your security and your reputation profile. What is DigiJack's group? Because this is my company. Sometimes you hear me mention a little bit, and I will continue to as well. It's a cybersecurity and boutique reputation security company that I founded. We're 16 years old. Our clients include family offices, athletes, celebrities, politicians, CEOs, people, heads of nonprofits, heads of different organizations, people who've been in litigation and or in the public eye in various ways. We do a lot of incident management. We do reputation repair, proactive monitoring for our clients. If you're interested to learn more about DigiJax, I encourage you to go to digijax.com and click on Cyber AI with Alan Silverberg, in which we have a link to special services that we provide to listeners of the podcast for reputation, cybersecurity, and monitoring. If you want to talk to me and ask me some questions, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm at linkedin.com/in/AlanWSilberberg. And if you like this, please, please subscribe on Spotify and or on DigiJax. Our track record speaks for itself as a company. In many cases, in search results, we rank ahead of the US government and all major competitors in Google search results, both for ourselves and for our clients. We do know how to control your narrative, and that is everything in 2025. So what's the takeaway here? What is looking ahead for yourself and your business? Reputation is security, and reputation is revenue. As threats continue to evolve, so must our defenses. If you're ready to take back control of your cyber reputation in this artificial intelligence world that we live in 2025, it takes being proactive and using these tools actively, not waiting for something to happen, then being reactive. If you're being reactive in cybersecurity, it is too late. Reach out to us. If we can help, we'll be happy to. Make sure that your story is one of strength and resilience and trust. I'm Alan Silberberg. Thanks for tuning in to Cyber AI with Alan Silberberg. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and stay one step ahead. Until next time, stay safe, stay smart, and stay prepared.
Welcome to the zone where the circus hum. Cyber AI, where the techies come. Alan Silverberg with the beaten drum. Diving deep where the future's from. Stay plugged into the cyber sky. Alan Silverberg keeps the answers nigh. Cyber AI, where the sparks will fly. Until next time. time we amplify.